Okay, we're going to read verses 1 to 4.
Yeah, minimize that.
Okay. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it."
All right, great. So using Brother Frank's map last week, it says that there is a certain man who was ill. His name is Lazarus of Bethany. Bethany is a city in this region called Judea. Can you guys find where Bethany's at? Yes, yeah, right. Okay. And in, yeah, right over, sitting right over there with Bex. And Jesus, in the previous chapter, had to move from Judea. He was ministering to Judea and had to go across this river. Do you guys know the name of this river? Any guesses? This is the Jordan River. There you go. So this is, so he had to go across the Jordan River into this region of Perea. And that's where Jesus is at, right? So Jesus is here and Lazarus is here, right? And what we see is that the sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, they're all in Bethany. And who's ill? Their brother Lazarus, right? And so they sent word to Perea. So they sent a messenger, probably like a modern day, or their version of an iMessage text is someone who takes a message and runs, right? And runs and brings that iMessage all the way over to Perea. Some of you are familiar with this miracle. So my question is, did they send a request of Jesus? Did they send a request? Because the sisters sent to him saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." And why do you think that they did not request anything of Jesus? So I know we're internal processors, right? Frank designed this class to be one in which we kind of talk to each other. That's why I've like worked hard. That's not my norm. I can like monologue teach, but I love how Frank can lead that discussion with us. And so I'm the one responding to him. Sometimes I can't respond to myself. What do you think? Like, what? Why do you think that they actually didn't even have a request of Jesus, but there's a request in there? And what does this tell you of their relationship?
Are they just assuming Jesus was going to do something?
Okay, so there could be an assumption, right? Obviously, Jesus loves Lazarus. He's very close with his family. All they need to do, you know, when I was thinking that when you know someone well, you don't always have to ask for something. You guys know what I'm talking about? When you're close with someone and you just say, "I'm not feeling good." And that someone who's close to you, a family member, someone just kind of knows what to do. You know what I'm talking about? But you can't do that to anyone, right? You can't just speak like that to anyone, right? to anyone else, if I said to John, Rusty's ill, John would be like, okay, right on. Rusty's gonna die. Oh man, okay. But someone close to Rusty may want to do something. I don't know if that question works. But it's a great one. So the sister sent to him saying, right, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now look at verse 5. He says, now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister, which is Mary, and Lazarus. So he loves them. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was in Perea. So my question is, do you find anything odd about Jesus's response in 5 to 6?
Yes.
Oh, Daniel speaking here. Go ahead, Daniel.
Well, I also said yes, like, right?
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I think normally he would rush there if somebody's ill or something, if you think they're going to die, but he waited.
Right. So that's odd, right? You would think that someone that you love is sick, you know. There's a family right now in our church where the father's parents are sick in Taiwan. They're doing everything they can to rush, right, to go see them. Okay, so that's a little bit odd. Is this the first time you have seen a request for help from Jesus and he refused to grant the request? Huh? Can I give you a hint? No. All right, Stephen takes really good notes. Stephen, was this the first time that you've seen a request for help from Jesus for a miracle and he refused to grant the request?
No, because last week we were about like Mary asked Jesus or told Jesus that they're out.
Yes.
He was like,
right. He said okay.
He didn't say okay exactly, but
right. Do you remember what he said? You guys remember? You can look at your notes, look at the scripture. He said, "Woman." He said, "Woman, what?"
Like only about his time was 2 years.
Yes, right. It's about his hour has not come.
What's that got to do?
He says, "What does this have to do with me? It's not the time." Right? So there's something that we see. This is now the second time we see it, where there's a dire need that people are facing. And Jesus says it's not the time. Yet, because last week we saw that he did refuse the request, but after he refused the request, he granted the miracle. So there is something about timing that Jesus seems to want us to know about. You know, there's a song that I was going to play this morning on the car, and I think it's by Maverick City. It's like waiting on you, waiting on God. So what does it mean? Why is waiting on God something that matters so much to God? Why is timing so important? Jesus could have done something amazingly quick and very suddenly. He could have healed Lazarus while he is in Perea, but he chose not to. I wonder what you guys think about that. If you have any thoughts that there's something about Jesus and timing that he doesn't always work according to our schedule. But he works according to another schedule. And whose schedule is that? Right, Alva's pointing up. Man, a few words. Just uses his finger. What if I didn't see that? Like, glasses are covered.
I don't know if you've been my schedule.
Oh, you might be my schedule. Were you pointing at yourself?
No.
Okay. Right. So, Jesus somehow is what we see in these at least two miracles so far is that there is a different pace. Sometimes God brings miracles suddenly, right? We find God, we cry out to God, and he brings us a deliverance suddenly. We sometimes get these suddenly moments with God, don't we? And you're like, oh, God's amazing. He just came through right in the nick of time, right? But I don't think we always appreciate when God works in the slowlies. Like, because to us, we don't want things slowly. We want things sudden. We want things fast. We want it, and we want it now. Right? And I wonder if that's something for us to think about. I was thinking about these two miracles, and I'm like, this is a pretty cool linkage, right? You see, and then I started to see that this happens in other instances. Think about some of the different miracles that our brother Frank has been leading us through, and how many different miracles God didn't answer them in the suddenly. God answered them in the slowly. And yet he says something here, I don't know if you guys picked it up, in verse 4, he says, this will be for the glory of God, so that the Son of God, who's the Son of God? Jesus, me, may be glorified through it. I may be glorified. I don't know, sometimes, there may be things that you're facing today that you're like, hey, God, I need a sudden miracle. I need it to come through like right now. But what is God trying to show you or teach you or reveal to you as he's moving in the slow? Right? What is he trying to help you with? By moving at his pace, right? Whose pace are you always on today, right? That's a question I think about myself a lot. Am I on some other pace, or am I on God's pace, God's speed? God's speed sometimes can be radically fast. And then sometimes to us, it can be radically slow. But that's his pace. And God is... I have a book at home that I love. It. The title, it says, God is not in a hurry. God does not hurry. He doesn't need to rush. Because his timing is what? Perfect, right? So. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. But I go to awaken him. And the disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he's going to recover. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was actually just sleeping. Because this is something that happens in John's gospel a lot. The disciples are bonehead Christians, like literally. Like, we unless you start to really see patterns in scripture, you think that when we preach and teach on the disciples, they're like amazing men of great faith. They are, in John's gospel, they are repeatedly ignorant. They're repeatedly knuckleheads. They are repeatedly not understanding Jesus. And so he's falling asleep, and they're like, oh, okay, well, fine. He's asleep. He'll wake up. And Jesus said plainly, like bluntly, he's saying, no, what I'm telling you is Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So then Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him. Like, what are you talking about? What? Why would you even say that? So in verse 14 and 15, what was the reason that Jesus gave? Jesus is glad that he didn't go suddenly. And what was the reason? So that what? So that they may believe. Jesus is giving them new grounds for them to believe. Do you think the disciples already believed? Yes or no? Yes, so they had some belief. They proclaimed it. They've declared their belief. In the Greek, I love this, that believe, to believe and to have faith is the same word. In both the verb and the noun, it's pistuo in the verb and pistis in the noun, right? The same root. We might think of them a little differently, but there's something about faith, belief, that is really important. And again, if you look in the pattern of the Gospel of John, belief is a big thing in John's Gospel, to believe. But why? If they already believe, why is Jesus so concerned that they believe? If they already believe, why is Jesus so concerned that they believe? I mean, I have all these verses. I didn't space it out right. Frank does it like really nice. I'm like, oh, these weren't supposed to show up yet.
I have a better understanding.
A better understanding, okay.
Because it might be kind of like superficial.
Superficial. Yeah, go ahead. Explain that a little more.
Because this just started, right? Like, four, right? I don't know where this is.
11, John 11.
Oh, so it's kind of middle. Right in your end. I don't know, just when you, because obviously they already believe. So they already believe that he's Jesus. I feel like this is after they said he's the Lord, but mm-hmm. I don't remember. So then the only thing more that they believe is like his purpose, right? Like, if you feel like there's real hope there versus kind of maybe their understanding of like.
Okay. Yeah. So understanding.
Like, sometimes even like for myself. Like, we believe, but sometimes we have that doubt.
Mm.
Can he really do this? Like, I know, and then I think maybe that's because we're flesh that. And so, like, and God knows that I got to meet them where they are so I can show them like,
who I really. Have you, Kai, prayed before for something, but you don't really believe that he could do it or that he would do it?
Yes.
Right, thank you for being very honest. How many of us have prayed and you just are not fully believing that God would hear your cry and deliver answer? Have you ever prayed that way before? Kind of like, I'll ask this, but The safe prayer. What's the safest prayer, guys? What's a safe prayer?
It's your will.
If it is your will, God, right? Like, Lord, I need healing from brain cancer, but only if it's your will. Only if you will it, then it'll happen. If you don't, and so I don't even know I'm praying. It's just whatever. Do whatever you do. Because I don't really believe that you can come through on this. Yeah, go ahead.
Would, you know, I guess, would it be kind of like sometimes we say that because as a Christian, that's what we should do, right? We have to pray to God for this, but on the inside, it's like, well, if God had wanted to do it, he would have done it without being able to ask.
Right.
It's so awesome.
Right. Right, in the same way. It's so obvious. Yeah. Oh, you weren't here, because if you look at the very first few verses of John chapter 4, they didn't even send a request to Jesus. They just said, Lazarus, the one whom you love, is ill. They're not even saying a request. Like, it's like, this should be obvious. We need you to do something. Like, God, like, this is so obvious. We believe that you are Jesus, the Son of God. They believe. They're close. They're tied with Jesus. You're close enough for me to just say, you love Lazarus. You love us. You love my brother. And we're sending you a message. He's sick like that. It's not even a request. It's almost an expectation, right? Like, you got to do something. But there is this thing that we see a lot in scripture, and I think it reflects us. It is not wrong to pray, Lord, your will be done. Let it be your will. Just as Jesus prayed, take this cup, but let your will be done. Right? But I'll tell you that when Jesus was praying, take this cup, do you think Jesus was praying like, you probably won't take this cup, so I'm just going to say take this cup, but really whatever. I know you won't come through. You think Jesus asked God, his Father, to take this cup away, and he meant it with all his heart? Like, he knows he's about to drink this cup of all of mankind's wrath. The wrath of God upon all mankind. He's about to chug that to the last drop. Do you think when Jesus prayed to his Father, it was like, I know you probably won't do anything, but just take this cup, but whatever. I know it's probably not going to happen. Isn't that crazy to think about? That Jesus would actually plead to his Father, take this cup. I cannot do this. It is too much for me. I cannot even grapple with this idea of having to drink all of your wrath for them. I can't do this. I think this strikes a big part of belief. Any other thoughts online? I'm going to show you the verses that I put up, just because the same word is used in all these verses. It is a belief in his name that he gave us the right to become children of God. When they saw what Jesus did with turning water into wine, and it showed his glory and manifested his glory, his disciples, what? They believe. So why is he asking them? He's saying, it's good that I didn't stay, or that I didn't go, so that you may believe. They believe. But he wants them to believe.
Right. Yeah, it seemed like Jesus is way more concerned about their building their faith than the actual healing itself. Right. I think when you were talking about how Jesus, you know, at pleading with the Father, hey, take this cup away from me, that shows his humanity. And if you go back to that verse where he says, I'm glad that I wasn't there. I was reading that and I thought, I think Jesus said, I'm glad that I wasn't there because I love my brother Lazarus so much that if I was there, I probably wouldn't let him die.
Right.
That's why he says, I'm glad. You know what? Just imagine how humans are. Like, oh, I'm glad I wasn't there because if I was there, I would have done this.
Right.
I think that's the tone that Jesus, you know, I'm so glad I wasn't there because I do love your brother so much. I would not want to see him
suffer and die, right, like that.
And watch you guys cry. I don't want to be that, right? So Jesus, I'm glad I wasn't there. And he had enough spiritual understanding, connection with the Father to know, oh, Father's timing is that, oh, I see. I wasn't there because my Father wants to glorify me so that my disciples and people around me, their faith may be built up because that's what miracles are for. And then he put two and two together and he says, I know what's going to happen. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's...
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That he's saying, man, if I was there, I would have just healed him fast. But I'm so glad that I wasn't there. And I'm delaying so that you guys may have a, like Frank said, your faith is being built up. Okay, very cool. Yeah, see, all of these verses, look at this. When Jesus healed two blind men, it was according to their what? Faith. It was according to their belief. It's almost like the fullness of belief. I'm not sure. 60% belief versus 100% belief. Sometimes we waver in there in different things, don't we? But even a Canaanite woman's daughter, she was possessed. And this woman came to Jesus, a complete pagan, non-believer. And Jesus says, oh, woman, how great is your faith? And because of your faith, he says, whatever you desire, let it be done for you. And her daughter was freed of demonic bondage. So there's something about that. Mark says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not what? Doubt. In his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done. Wow. Like that's some strong words right there. All right, give me a break, John. Read this for me.
Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. But when he was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to consult them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went. Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yes, shall he. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. You believe this? He said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world.
Oh, sorry. So So they come. Lazarus has already been in the tomb 4 days. So he's already dead 4 days. Right? He delayed 2 days. And Kai does this. What does that mean?
Probably the pain.
Oh, he's probably already like got that body rot. Right? Have you guys ever smelled dead animal before? Like a dead animal in your yard? Do you guys know that stench? It is like rancid, bad. Yeah. So yeah, Kai's doing this, like there's a body odor. So what do you observe in Martha in the way she talks to Jesus in verse 21 through 24? What would you say the way she's kind of like, this is the first thing she sees Jesus, right? It's like, bro, I don't know, right? I don't know how you guys would say it today. Like, what is she saying?
I think, like, you know, she's making a few assumptions, like, hey, you know, like, where were you?
Yeah.
If you're all known.
Yes.
You have power. You could have prevented this.
Yes.
Right? You could have prevented
this. Oh, yeah, she believes that for sure.
But also, she's kind of feeling it now, whatever I ask.
Whatever you ask.
You ask. Right? Like, done so that you know, like, what we need right now.
Yeah. I wasn't sure how to read Martha. That's what I want to ask you guys. Because it's very different in tone, right? It's just words on a page. But if it goes, Lord, if you have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask from God, God will give to you. Or, Lord, if you have just been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask from God, God will give to you. Whatever. Whatever you ask. Go ahead.
So, you know, now that you know, we phrase it like that, it kind of seems like maybe, okay, for myself sometimes, like, you know, Jesus is, you know, intercession, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes maybe we feel like, you know, it's like, oh, okay, God only loves Jesus. Maybe. I'm not saying this is true, but like, so if, you know, like, I don't go through Jesus, then he, you know, am I really the child of God, right? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, our faith in him brings us into that status, that privilege we have, right? So we have that full, you know, sometimes I get this, like, we have that full access.
Yeah.
But we're kind of limiting because, like, well, I can't ask him, you know, does Jesus want that, right? Mm-hmm. And then maybe he does. And I think, you know, it kind of goes back to earlier, the verses you show is like, even those, you know, Canaanite women, it's like, I don't know, I feel like they're asking because they're ready to fully receive.
Yes,
so right. Like,
yes.
I'm at my end. Like, I know you can do that. No one else can.
Right.
But like, you know, I'll be honest. Like, I tested that last verse, right? And like, you know, ask a mountain.
Yeah.
You know? Like, but then it's you like asking myself, you know, doing it because I'm doubting it. You know, I'm doubting it, right? And I was like, well, God really did this, you know, but it's not fully like with that ready to see what he's going to do. And you know, sorry, I'm dragging a little bit on, but
it's okay.
I'm thinking when we say like, you know, if it's your will, you know, when we have that prayer, like, do I know what his will is here? Mm-hmm. Right? Because if I did, then when I say that, it means totally something different versus, well, you know, if you want to, like, I guess you don't want to because is that happening obviously?
Yes. Yes. What is God's will for me, even? Right? We pray for healing from brain cancer, remove it so that there's none. Is that God's greatest will on this earth? For me. Do I know what his greatest desire is for me? Am I walking in the spirit? Am I walking so closely to God that when I pray, I know what he most greatly desires for me? What is it? This is stuff that I have to work through. Is my greatest prayer to God the most, like, lined up, synced up prayer to him, like, God, just completely heal me of brain cancer? Or is there something greater of bringing heaven to earth in my life that you can do? What am I asking for in all faith? What is that I would desperately cry out and say, mountain, move? And I'm so aligned with God's will that a mountain would move. Something would seem so impossible, but it becomes possible. Any other thoughts?
I never saw Martha in this way, but you know, she's kind of acting the same way that we saw her in the kitchen.
Right.
Because in verse 20 it says, when Martha heard Jesus coming, she went and met him, but Mary sat.
Mary was still crying. Mary's emotional one, still crying in the house because her brother's dead.
So the way Martha approaches Jesus and God may not be a bad thing either, right? Because right. She always gets the short end of the stick. But I imagine her to be a person of results. She's like, yes. Look, if you had been here, if you were here, you would have healed. But now you can do it. I don't care how you do it. I know you can do it. Just do it, right? So she is quick to just believe and just ask, you know, because she knows Jesus very well too.
Right.
And even in verse 27, Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And she goes, yes, you are. I believe. Right. And
a lot of times, yeah, you're right. Like, I think we pit Mary against Martha as if Mary is only the right. That's not true. Both of them, right? Both of them have attributes like love by Jesus.
Right.
She did the short and the stick, but she's the one who came gangbusters to Jesus. Like, Jesus is not even in Bethany yet, right?
Right.
It says, like, when Jesus came, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Mary, blah, blah, blah. And so when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, right?
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah, I didn't think about that too, because Martha is still, I don't really know how to, dude, I just have this crazy blonde hair on me. That's not right.
I have a few, so you know.
Yeah, Stephen.
It seems like she says in verse 22, like, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And that kind of seems like she believes that, like, God can resurrect them.
Mm.
But then in verse, 24, yes. When Jesus says,
she
didn't understand.
Yeah, she didn't understand. Again, very John. Very Johanni is what we call it. This is very Johanni in the gospel, right? It's very John in this epistle. Like, she doesn't understand. She seems to have this faith, but then it's like, okay, if you say it, that he'll rise again. But Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And she goes, I know, you're talking about the resurrection, the last day, the end times. The last day, yes, everyone will be resurrected. And Jesus said to her, I am. Okay. There's so much we could study. Frank, we should do a study on the I ams of Jesus, right? Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And then he said, do you believe this? She goes, yes, I do believe. But Stephen says it seems like she still has doubt, right? Like, she didn't really understand. I'm not totally sure about Martha. I'll leave it at that. I don't have a full answer on Martha at this point. And I've thought about this for a little while. In this verse, though, is Jesus saying that he can provide resurrection and life, or is he saying something? Oh, in this verse is Jesus saying, there you go. That's my problem. So is Jesus saying he can provide resurrection? Because that's what we know of Jesus, right? What is he saying?
He is what in the book. Right? A lot of times we're looking for him to do something, but he is actually
right. Explain that a little bit more.
So, like, for example, the whole Martha thing, right? He is looking forward to the future, you know, day when this thing will occur, because he has that knowledge. However, and that's why we have the attitude, like, well, I guess, you know, I'll just wait for that day. But if you make it happen, if you want it to happen, it happens. Versus Jesus saying, he lived, we can make it happen right now.
Yes. Because
he is the thing that they so desire.
He is. Yes. I am. The I am statements. If you guys ever want to do a devotional, probably, I'm sure they have one on YouVersion. Look up the I Am devotional series where you just go through all of who Jesus is, who Jesus says he is. It's amazing. He's not saying that he can just provide resurrection and life. He's saying, I am resurrection and I am life. I'm standing right here. I am life. I am what you are looking for. I loved how you said that, Kai. That's crazy. He says, you're looking for something. I'm standing right here. I don't only give resurrection and give life. I am life. I am life itself. That's Zoe. Greek word Zoe is life. I am Zoe, life. I'm standing right here. And I don't know how to read Martha 27. And he's like, do you believe this? She's like, yeah. Yeah, I believe. Not sure. I just don't know how to read her. I don't know how to read Martha. Sure. So what is Jesus highlighting here again? Right? He's saying again, whoever believes in me, I'm standing right here. Do you believe in me? I'm standing right here. I'm with you. Do you believe? It's a belief issue again, he's highlighting. So she says, yes, Lord, I do believe. And then she goes and runs and calls her sister. Mary's saying in private. I was going to have Scott read this. Scott, you want to read this for me?
28 to how? Mm-hmm. To work. 32 or 34, how far?
Yeah, just go for it.
Okay. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews were with her in the house, consoling her, Mary saw Mary rise quickly and go out. They followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. He loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also kept this man from dying?
Oops. Can you guys still see?
Yeah.
I, as I studied this and I got deep, I just want to share this with you. If you grew up in church, you would know that the shortest verse in the Bible is in this passage right here, right? What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept, verse 35, right? Milton would always get that Jeopardy question, right? I know the shortest verse in the Bible. I memorized it. Jesus wept. But here it says that when Mary now comes in private, and now look at when she rose quickly to Jesus, everyone went to follow Mary now. And when Mary came to Jesus, she said almost the same thing like Martha, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping and all the people who loved Lazarus, this is probably a very beloved family. When people travel all the way from Jerusalem to this family, to this house, to like mourn the death of Lazarus. But when Jesus saw her crying and all these people crying, and it says he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. We read that as like, oh, he's moved. Oh, and so maybe he wept. But actually, this translation may not be the best for this particular word. This word here, used everywhere outside the Bible in Greek, describes the snort of a horse in war. Kind of when a horse is like angry, like about ready to go. How does a horse snort? You know?
Just like that.
That sounded weird. Right? But you can imagine this. I tried to do it. Like, for humans outside of the Bible, whenever this Greek word was used, it describes outrage and fury or anger. Why would Jesus be angry in his spirit, in his soul, and greatly troubled? Is it because Mary and Martha and everyone is sad? Obviously, that can't be. Jesus is too compassionate. What Kai had said earlier, Jesus is saying, everything that you are looking for is in me, and I'm standing right here. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I don't just give it. I am. What would make him angry then about that? What would make him angry and greatly troubled?
Doubt.
Yes. They didn't believe. He's standing right there. He gave them the answer. When you are life, let me think of an example. When you are a clean person, how do you feel when you walk into a messy room? Bex, how do you feel? You're a very clean, organized person. How do you feel walking into
my
office?
Anxious.
Stressed.
You're bothered.
Bothered. I see like all these things.
You see all these things.
It's unnerving.
Because it's the opposite of what you are. Do you think Jesus is bothered? Do you think Jesus might be angry over seeing death? Because death is a result of sin. and all these people are crying hopelessly. And he's standing right there, looking at it. He's perfect, clean, standing in a muck of just mess and decay and death. And everyone's crying over it, and he's right there. I wonder, people used to say Jesus wept because even the Jews, some of them said, see how much he loved Lazarus. I'm wondering if Jesus wept because he hates death that much. And he's angry. It's a have you ever cried angrily before? Like cried in anger, have you? I have cried in anger. Like you're just so angry that you're crying. That's like hot crying, you know? And you are so mad at something that has happened or some injustice. I don't know what would cause Jesus to snort of a horse in a war. What is he furious over? But I wonder if he's furious at what death does to his most beloved people, what death has done to this world. I wonder if he's angry that he's standing right there and they are lost. I think of Kai's phrase, like, everything that you want is in me. I am life. No. And so Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb, and we'll wrap up in like 5 minutes. Came to the tomb, it was a cave and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And look at what Martha says. Lord, by this time, there will be an odor. Okay, what Kai was saying earlier. He was like, oh, yeah. For he has been dead 4 days. Kai's a scientist, he knows. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you, what? Believed, you would see the glory of God. So Stephen was right. She didn't get it. She didn't fully believe. So they took away the stone and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around that they may what? Believe. That you said. Lazarus came out. See, Jesus was deeply moved again. Martha, I already explained where she was going away. Why is it so important, though, that they took the stone away? Why is it important that they took the stone away? Why would it be important? Martha said, I don't think you should take the stone away. Jesus said, take the stone away. And Martha said, I don't think you should. Why is it important that they did?
Does it prevent death?
No.
I think it's a step of obedience.
It's a step of expressing what? Faith. Right. I didn't mean to like jump in no quick. I'll just kind of watch my time, right? Like it's a faith results in actions. Faith results in actions. Belief results in actions. When you believe, there's an action behind it. When you believe, you act with belief. You don't believe that God will provide your every need and you scramble and panic every day. As if he would not. Are you guys with me? If you trust God that he is Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, that he will provide, don't panic every day. Don't live. I'm not saying this condemningly, right? I'm just getting my little bit off preacher voice, right? Don't, like, then why are we living in anxiety so much? Why aren't we living according to our belief? Belief leads belief necessitates action. They would only remove the stone if they believed there's something that is behind it. And yes, it does prove that he was dead. Because he actually came out literally in his grave clothes, wrapped up in these linens. And then Jesus even had to say, take those things off of him and let him out of those. Because he's like a mummy. He's like Jiang Su style. Right?
It's kind of funny here that when we ask this, or them, we expect like a very instantaneous or a rapid response.
Yeah.
But when he tells us to do something, it's like, well, you know, I don't know. Right? We almost like our doubt comes out. Even simply said, remove someone, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, remove the stone.
It's like,
come on.
And he's trying, right? He's moving forward to bring Lazarus back, but we're like impeding that.
Yeah. We're hindering the miracle. Right. I like what you said. We're hindering our own request. The answer to our request is being hindered, not by God, but by our inaction of responding to belief. And I love this. Look at this. He says, I thank you that you hear me, Father, in verse 41. I know that you always hear me, but I said it out loud on account of all the people standing around that they may believe. You see in this passage how many times Jesus says, I will do this. It is so good that I delayed because so that you may what? Believe. And to Martha, do you believe? To Mary, it's so that you may believe. And now for all the people that have gathered, Jesus says, okay, I'm going to do this amazing miracle. And it's not just for Mary or Martha or Lazarus, who spent his 4 days, you know, he could write a book now. I was in heaven and I came back.
A bestseller.
What happened in those 4 days? But it wasn't just for the benefit of these people who requested. It's what Frank's been going along in all these miracles. God has greater purposes and miracles than just the recipient. So I had a phrase, you know, I'll just wrap up with, it's down here somewhere, it's tucked in there. Oh no, it's not here. Oh well.
What is your purpose?
This is a hard thing, Frank, to work on. It's a website design thing, so I had to design a website. My point is that I think sometimes we want God to work suddenly, but God's timing many times is in the slowlies. And yet when God comes through for you, know that he does not just come through for you. But ultimately, his kingdom paradigm of bringing heaven to earth is that through bringing miracles in your life, it will benefit everyone around you, and so that others may see, and that ultimately God will be given the glory. Amen. All right. Cool. All right. Frank usually picks on the most talkative person. So Kai, you want to pick for it?
Sure. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for leading us. Understand how we grow our faith in the ways we work in our lives and their faith. That our areas of doubt and maybe immaturity, but thank you. You have that foresight for that. When we experience these miracles and your healing and your answer prayer, Lord, the miracles, the glory, it's not just limited to us, but for the world to see, to do
not know any and they can't think of things because that is something that this world cannot offer. I pray that for all of us, as we learn even today from Mary, maybe the circumstance of prayer or the miracle we seek is not that time or opportunity or that destination, but it is pray that we will continue to experience that life that you are.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.